Psalm 69, verse 1. David says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." In verse 5, "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you." Let's pray one more time together and ask the Lord to just be in our midst as we already feel him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for every person that is here. Lord, I know that you desire to minister to us. You desire to teach us your ways and show us your paths. And Father, I pray that you would orchestrate this evening, put it together as you see fit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we can find a way to be changed by your power and by your spirit. And in the name of the Lord, I rebuke anything that would cause doubt to creep into this place, but instead that faith would be released and that we would leave changed. You may be seated. Praise God. So I want to start by saying that I have shared some of these things in that I'm going to talk about tonight in Impact and in the young families. And if you've heard some of this before from me, please forgive me. But it continues to work in my life. And so I feel to share some of it again tonight. And I plan to share a bit of my testimony in hopes that if you need a leg up, some of what happened to me, maybe it can help you. There will be personal references, but my desire is that I might share the hope that is in Jesus Christ with you. You know, when we arrive on a Wednesday night service, it's always interesting because you probably have the things that typically happen to you, and I have the things that typically happen to me. Sometimes, we manage to get out the door and we know we're going to be there early enough to walk in, and that timer will still be going. I'm looking for that timer. I'm like, when I walk in, I see that timer going. I'm like, yes, I got here. And, I know some people, they get here early, they're going to be here early and they get everywhere early. And so, that's for you, your normal Wednesday night, And every once in a while, you might have a night where you come in and you're already on the third song. That's you sometimes, and that's been me at times. It's Wednesday night, and week after week, and month after month, and for some year after year, we come from work. Some come straight from home or work to church, or maybe you've been out to dinner. I don't know what your routine is for Wednesday night. But everybody say Wednesday night, here we are. And for many of us, it's just another Wednesday night. And so tonight I want to speak from that angle, just another Wednesday night. When we go back through the verse of Scripture, David expresses some real emotion in a very direct statement. He says, "Save me, O God." And he puts this big exclamation point on the end of it. He's showing that David is showing that he is done with himself. He's done with his own abilities. He's done with his own efforts. He's done everything he can. And he says, "For the waters have come up to my neck." I mean, it's just there, and I think it's probably to his chin, I mean, that's what he's got, his head up. He's trying to figure out what's going on. And then he says, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing." And, he's expressing the hopelessness of his situation. He's expressing the difficulty where he just has nothing but despair in this particular situation. "I've come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." David is just desperate. Now, David is very good at acknowledging God. If you look through the Psalms, you can find that he is very good at pointing to God, at looking to God, and reaching to God. And he provides many of us with a path to understand how to pray. If you didn't know how to pray, if you didn't know how to talk to God, if you can read Psalms, you know, you can actually learn a little bit from David as he shares some of his insights about acknowledging God. And, you know, for example, Psalm 23, he does this very well. You know, this chapter, it encompasses David's whole life. And yet in no place is David giving himself control. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And he puts this beautiful capstone on the end of this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is good at acknowledging God. He's good at just saying exactly who God is. He's good at this. And yet, in Psalm 69, he is still in a place where he is desperate. Now, when I was in Bible school, I remember I would go to we had this prayer room that was outside our dormitory, and you could go there at any time. Sometimes you'd find students sleeping in there. You know, sometimes you'd find people praying, you know, the house down. Sometimes there'd just be people just quiet in there. You know, they were just hanging out in the prayer room, you know, and just doing what they could. But I can remember one time that I was in the prayer room, and I was thinking about these Psalms of David, and I was saying to God, I was like, you know, I would like to come up with some Psalms. That would be cool, you know, if I could do that. And so, you know, it's fun. You should try it sometime, you know, coming up with your own Psalms. And it's very simple. All you have to do is you just look at your life and you start coming up with stuff, and pretty soon you've done it like David, you know. Now, you don't have swords and shields and fortresses and rocks and stuff like that going on around your place. Maybe, I mean, maybe you do, I don't know. But, you know, but you look at your life and you begin to talk about it like David, and that's how he wrote those amazing Psalms. And yours may not be scripture when you're done with it, but you may be surprised when you get done and you realize just how great your God is. Amen. You know, I say things like, you know, you're the God who brings clients into my office, and you're the God who provides for my family, and you're the God who helped me to get the right training so I wouldn't ruin my credit so I could buy a house. You know, I mean, you're the God who did these things in my life, and that's my Psalms, you know, and you can try it. It's pretty cool to write your own Psalms. And I can remember one time I was trying to do this, and I was referencing my job, and sometimes in prayer stuff just comes out. You know, you're like, wait a minute, I didn't mean to say that, or you're like, oh my goodness, what was that? You know, and so I was doing that. I was just, you know, I was just trying to keep the flow going. I didn't want to stop, and so I didn't even know what I was going to say next, and it just sort of started coming out. And I said, you know, you are the God who proclaims my name, and I was going to say in my county, in my community, through some of the things that we do for my job. And I said, you are the God who proclaims my name. And then I said, all over Atlanta. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And I you're like, well, what does that even mean? Well, here's the crazy part. This is just insane. My company, for some reason, I don't know how I do now, but at the time, they decided that they should put my picture on their advertisement every week. So, you know, but there's my name right there in that newspaper. And I can tell you that up until the moment I prayed this prayer, I never gave it a thought. I never thought anything about it. I just thought, well, there's my picture and it's in that ad and it doesn't mean a thing, you know. But then I realized as I was praying this prayer that God did that. He put my name there, and I didn't know it until I proclaimed the great work of God. And so as you begin to proclaim the great work of God in your life and you identify what he's doing in your life, you just may come across some things that you weren't expecting. And it's incredible to do that. David does a good job of this. Psalm 3:3, David says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high." David is good at acknowledging God. One more thing about that real quick, and I was sharing this, and Brandon Marin pointed out to me that the difference in saying, "God, you are," fill in the blank, and "thank you, God, for," fill in the blank, is that in this way of praying, we are identifying God, not just thanking him for an action. It's an identity statement. And that is a powerful thing when you tell God who he is in your life. And then Sister Bethany Jones added to that, and she said, you know, you could even give God a future identity and say, "You are the God who can, and you are the God who is able." And in fact, you know, he's the God who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or even think. And that future identity allows him to be identified in the future as well. Praise God. And I believe that we can look to David's example and learn some things. But this month marks 5 years since a miracle started in me. And I'm 36 years old, and for 31 years, I had really accepted that there were parts of me, parts of my heart, that probably wouldn't change. I just felt like, you know, this is the way God made me, and I just must be this way. And I wasn't crazy about it. I didn't necessarily look at myself and see anything bad, but there were just parts that I just wish that I didn't have. And so I guess in a way, by and large, I just felt like there was something lacking in my inner man. And so, like most people, I looked to prayer meetings and I looked to services with powerful altar calls, and I listened to powerful preaching. And, you know, I would commit to short sessions of consecration and prayer and fasting, you know, in my effort to put this inner man in order. But something was missing, and worse yet, I don't even know if I knew that it was missing. Until it was suddenly that the waters had come up to my neck. Until I noticed that I wasn't doing any of the things that I was doing very well at all. I wasn't, in my opinion, giving my marriage the time. And I wasn't able to do it very well. Not because I didn't want to, but it just wasn't going as good as I hoped. And even my family wasn't great either. In my family life, it wasn't like I wanted it to be. And ministry, well, it was kind of lacking too. I couldn't keep up with any of the things that were going on. I couldn't stay ahead of it. And when it would come up, it was a great burden, a great chore. And any time that I sacrificed to do that, then it took away from my family and so then I'd go to my job, and I wasn't able to do that very well because I'm trying to focus on my family and trying to focus on my relationship with God. And so just nothing was going the way that it should. It wasn't going well. And I didn't know what to do about that. I'm a guy that I love the Lord. You love the Lord. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love the Lord. And you're probably doing everything you know to do. And I was doing everything I knew to do because I wanted to I want to please God. That's the biggest important thing in my life. And a change started with a message that Brother John's preached, and I believe it was called First, or First Things First, or something like that. I wish I could remember, and I probably should have asked him, but if you were here, you may remember that time, and it was a powerful thing for me. And the interesting thing is that the one thing that I took away from it was I needed to see if I could restructure my life to try to put things in order, and I'm gonna do some things. And so I felt like there was one thing real easy that I could do, and so I took my phone, and maybe you've heard this story or not, I don't know, but I took my phone, and I just pushed in on my Bible app until it was shaking, because I have an iPhone, so it shakes when you get ready to move it, and I swiped over a couple screens, and I put it right in the first spot, and I was like, there we go. I did something. I made a small movement. I put my Bible app in the front spot, you know, and I was very glad about that. I listened to my pastor and I took a first step, and it was a good step, and I was glad about it. And you know, some people can change things, change the easy stuff by sheer will. I used my will and I took my finger and I moved it and I put that Bible app first. And it was a movement in faith, you know, but I mean, it was my sheer will that allowed me to make that movement, you know. But what about the parts of you and I that we don't know how to fix? We don't know how to fix some stuff. Some things may be sinful. Some things may just be lack. Certainly not the life more abundantly that you have read about in the Word of God. You've tried to fix it, and you wonder if it's your thorn in your flesh, like Paul had, you know? Paul had that thorn, and you think, well, I got a thorn. You know, this is mine. I always think mine's right here. I don't know where you think your thorn is, but that's where I think mine is. And, you know, the parts that you say, you know, I hope that part of me isn't visible when the Lord comes back, you know, because that's not my best side. And you know, if we look at what the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so right off the bat, you know, we just start out at this deficit. You know, we're already at the worst place. You know, desperately wicked's pretty bad. You know, that's really far down there. And that's where your heart is and my heart is. That's where we start. And it's got that stuff, that wickedness in it. And so, you know, we're aware of that, and you know, we can feel those things, and some of those things may cause you to feel reoccurring shame, and of course, I'm not talking about forgiven past. I'm actually just talking about the ever-moving present moment. You know, there's just stuff that's there right here that is really messed up until that point. I had been doing my devotion on the way to work, but something just wasn't working right. I mean, I would get in my car and I would crank up my tunes if that was what I was feeling that morning, or maybe I'd listen to my Bible a little bit, or maybe, you know, maybe I would, you know, just pray and talk to the Lord. And I can tell you some amazing things happened in my devotion on the way to work. I mean, the Lord really touched my heart, and I don't want to discount what he did in that time because it set the stage for what happened next. But I can just tell you that's where I was doing my devotion, and so I couldn't really understand, you know, if I'm trying to pray every day and I'm trying to, you know, focus on God, and you know, it feels like that should be good. It feels like I should have that together. Are you kidding me? Sorry, my iPad just shut down for some reason. I should have printed those notes, Brother Jerry. I almost did. Oh, it came back up. Praise God. Man, oh man. I apologize. Anyway, so I was in that time frame doing my devotion in the car. And it just wasn't working. I wasn't fully experiencing Romans 12, 1 and 2, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that scripture is just, it's just powerful. And you know, you think about yourself as holy and acceptable, and it's just, man, that would be cool if I could present myself to God that way, but I don't know if I'm quite getting there. And I don't know if I'm quite getting there. So what do I need to do? And you know, the Lord, maybe in an altar call, you know, he started a transforming work in you. Maybe in a powerful service, he began something, it planted a seed in you. But then for some reason, what happens to it? For some reason, something isn't completed. And we, you know, we say to ourselves, man, the Lord is faithful to complete the things that he started. And so, you know, I believe that this thing can be completed. I my faith is there. And so we believe that. But when God starts a transforming work in our lives, we look around and we say, so where, you know, where is the fruit of that? And we want to see the result. And so in my life, I was in deficit. And so I want to just share a little bit of this testimony, and it may not be what needs to happen for you. But if you don't have a plan, maybe something I share with you can help you, okay? This is just something that changed my life. And so I can remember I decided that during the month of July 2013 that I was going to make a different move. I was going to do something different. I was not having success. I was not getting where I wanted to go, so I'm going to make a different move. And so I picked a goal that I knew that I could achieve. I picked something that I knew I could accomplish, and I said, all right, this is what it's going to take. And so what was happening was that before July 2013, when I woke up, when my alarm went off, in order to help me wake up, I would roll over, I would grab my phone, and I'd read the news, just read the news. Help me wake up. Maybe I had some notifications on my phone from Facebook, and so I would take a look at those. And for 15 minutes, I would just do that, and I would wake up. And so I would go get ready, and then I would get in my car, and I would have my devotion time. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to make a quick change. I'm going to take that 15 minutes that I was already giving to that phone, and I'm going to give that 15 minutes to God. And so this is how I divided it up. I divided up, and this was all planned out. I was going to take 7 minutes and read my Bible and 7 minutes and pray. And I mean, that's not a long time, guys. I'm telling you, you can't even get through a chapter sometimes in 7 minutes. I'm telling you. But I was just going to, and so I started in Genesis, and I just, every morning, I read my Bible for 7 minutes, and then I went and in the other room, and I prayed for 7 minutes. It was not a lot. It was not a lot. But I couldn't believe what happened. Things just started changing in a really, really big way. The first thing that happened was I got an invitation to be flown to Chicago by my company for an additional 2 days of training. And so by the end of that month, things were already beginning to, I was already kind of doing some training that month. And so they said, well, come up to Chicago. We're going to do some additional training. So July was getting better. And then August, I just had the best month that I had ever had in my entire 4 years that I had been working for that company. And I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. And it just seemed like from there, it just began to happen. situation after situation continued to improve and continued to change. It continued to be transformed. My circumstances were transformed. It began to change the way that I thought about ministry. And the curious thing was, is that in my heart, there were things that used to have a little bit more power that just didn't seem to have the effect that they had had on me. And I just began to change. And 5 years later, I look back and I reflected this month at how much God has done because of that first step. And it got so exciting for me that this is going to blow your minds, but I changed my 15 minutes to 30 minutes. I went from 7 minutes of Bible reading to 15 minutes of Bible reading and 15 minutes of prayer. And now that's what I do. Now that's not, I mean, obviously there are plenty of other times to pray throughout the day. There's plenty of opportunities to have communion with the Lord. But those first 30 minutes, they belong to God. And I got to tell you, they're not always pretty. I mean, there are nights when I don't sleep as much. Now, I always sleep way more than my wife. I just want to clarify that. You sleep a lot less than I do. But there are nights that I don't sleep as well. And so I a lot of times would feel like I don't really want to get up and do that, but I still do it no matter what. I'm going to do it and I'm going to read. And the good thing about reading when you're tired is that, you know, you can read and then you kind of go back to sleep and then you read and then you go back to sleep. But there is something amazing about that. It just gets your mind in gear. And then you begin to pray, and your prayers, you know, they can sometimes sound the same at first, and they can be a little bit dry. But you can just be, as you begin to pray and you pray the prayers that you pray, 15 minutes turns into 30 minutes the next day, and 45, and 15 minutes, and 15 minutes, and 30 minutes, and 30 minutes, and 30 minutes, and day after day after day after day, you're investing in that relationship with God, and there is very, very quick, you begin to see returns on that investment throughout your life, and I have seen that, and it's powerful, and it's amazing. And so today, I stand before you, and I just want to thank the Lord for it, but I believe change by the power of God, changed in my role as a husband, changed as a role as a father, changed in my approach to ministry, and changed in my skills at my place of employment. And there's still this process that's going on, and I'm excited about it, you know, to see where the Lord takes me from this moment. As I was praying, you know, in these morning times, I saw right before my eyes the work of God's hand in my wife. Things that I just, you know, when you first get married, there's just stuff that you just can't get past. You know, it just seems like there's no way. And you know, you push through it. But I've been watching, you know, something else take place where there's this transition, this really amazing, powerful thing that started, you know, with these prayers that were only 7 minutes in the morning. And as I went to work, God was behind the scenes, putting things together each and every day. I'd go to the office and my schedule would have just, it would be no way that could all work out. And then, you know, it would somehow just, this person wouldn't show up, and it would give me just enough time to finish with this client, and that would work together. And then I would have a cancellation. Somebody would no show, and all of a sudden my afternoon is open, and what am I going to do? And somebody walk in the door and come to the front desk and say, oh, I was just in the area, and I've been seeing your sign. I felt like I should come in so that I can, you know, I need some help with my hearing. And you know, is there somebody I could talk to today? And so I'm bringing them straight back, and I'm helping them, and I'm getting a chance to improve in my work. And God's just like putting us together. And I can tell you that I feel, this is what I feel like. I feel like I took a shortcut somehow. But I have come to realize that when you have prayed and have a daily relationship, you can more easily thank Him for for the adversity in your life. You can understand more fully that he is in control. And so when you begin to just see that confidently, you don't look at your circumstances and see a problem. You look at your circumstances and see an opportunity. You see the chance for God to do something amazing. And it's powerful. It's powerful. I love what Jesus says. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's this process that's happening. Learn from me. And learning is a process. And so that learning process could take place because of the space that I created, that the Lord helped me create at the first part of the day. And so did I do some things along the way to help that process and improve myself and make changes? And yeah, of course I did. But I see now that it was really the Lord all along just putting that together so that I could improve. And this is the craziest part of all. This is the craziest part. I'm not even sharing anything new with you tonight. This is not a new revelation. This is not a new doctrine, but John Turner was missing out. I don't want to take away from the powerful altar services or periodic red hot prayer meetings or the powerful life-changing preaching that I've heard, but if you will give the first part of your day to the Lord, and even if it's a small part, over time as you invest yourself in it, you will change, I have no doubt. Amen. Right. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And I just, in my mind, I just, as I'm reading the word of God in the morning, and even though I don't really personally feel anything supernatural at that moment, but in my imagination, I just see that word just washing my spirit. It's just alive. And if you believe that the word of God is alive, as you read of it and you partake of it, it has power to change and cleanse you. And I remind myself of that when I'm reading Chronicles. Praise God. I'm just joking. Chronicles can be very interesting. So if God looks at your inner man, what does he see? What does he see tonight? And I know that tonight we have some incredible saints who have given their life and have given their time in the mornings. And this is not new to you. This is just an affirmation of what you already know. But if you look at your inner man tonight and you see something and you think God sees something that maybe needs to be changed, that maybe needs to be adjusted, and maybe it's you're at David's place tonight, and it could very well be that the waters are up to your neck. What does God see when he looks at your inner man tonight? Sometimes people are waiting for God to give them a gift of sudden change. They are. They hope that one day they will come maybe to an altar, or you know, they just hope that miraculously that they will suddenly be able to do something that they have never been able to do before. And they pray that it comes miraculously. And I can tell you that sometimes the Lord works that way. But often God wants to teach you a skill or behavior that can't ever be taken away. One of the best scriptures that illustrates this is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As children of God, training is how we learn skills and behaviors that we can never lose the knowledge of, even if we sometimes choose not to use those skills. For example, through training, my father taught me not to throw cars into the swimming pool. And I have never forgot that skill. It is something I keep with me. But training defined is the action of teaching a person or animal a particular skill or type of behavior. And so therein is a process. And Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in wisdom and stature. It was a process as he increased in wisdom and stature. This is our example to increase in wisdom and stature. Inner man's skills and behaviors, they're slow in coming. Are you needing an inner man improvement? It takes training. And who better to mentor you than the God who created you? I can remember I was doing some training with missionary Mark Schutz while I had spent some time overseas, and he would talk to us about how that when he went to Belarus, he didn't really know what he should do because he was being asked to take the responsibility for evangelizing a whole country. That's like the size of the state of Missouri. I mean, it's not a small place, you know. And so here he was in this country, and he's saying to God, you know, what do I do here? I don't have any training, you know, for this. You know, maybe you can, you know, send a mentor or somebody who can help me to know what to do here. And the Lord spoke to him and said, if you will follow me, I will show you what to do. And so Mark, we called him Mark, but Brother Schutz, he began to teach us that you can ask the Lord to mentor you. And who better to mentor you? If you've been wanting a mentor, you've been wanting somebody to invest in your life, you know, that's always a good thing. And I'm thankful for the mentors in my life. But do you know that the Lord, he knows the way that you were created. He knows the way that you're designed. He knows everything that there is to know about you and knows how to best use you for his purpose in the kingdom. And there's no greater mentor than him. And you can pray, Lord, mentor me. And Brother Schutz showed us this verse, and we would pray this verse, Psalm 25:4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. In other words, mentor me, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. The Lord's mentoring pushes you to fulfill the purpose he created you for. So ask him to do it and give him a chance to do it by putting him first. Now listen, I know that there are people in this room that by sheer self-discipline, they can accomplish amazing things. They can learn languages. They can lose weight. They can eat healthy. They got it covered. And when these disciplined people are Christians, when they hear this message, they think 30 minutes in the morning, that's nothing. I've already done devotion, worked out, and mowed the yard by the time you crack open your eyes. And I just want you to know, you guys are my heroes. I'm amazed by you. My parents are some of the most disciplined people I know. My dad, I used to think that I should go in the military so that I could be disciplined like him. Because he never, I mean, I'd see him, he'd sit there and shine his shoes. And I was thinking, man, he always makes sure those shoes are shined, you know. And I don't ever shine my shoes. I don't have time for shining shoes, you know. My mom, man, always made sure that bed was made, and we went in the kitchen and they cooked dinner, and food was always prepared, and we sat down and we had dinner together, and then we got done, the dishes were always done, and the kitchen was cleaned up, and that happened every night. And that may be normal for you, but I can just tell you that that takes discipline. And discipline has not been it's not one of my strongest character traits. And so God had to put me in waters up to my neck to teach it to me. And so tonight, if maybe you're like me and you just can't get there, you may be doing all the right things, but sometimes you have to get them in the right order. And when you can do that, it has so much power. My real world example here is that for so long in my business, as I was trying to help people hear better, I was doing a lot of things right. In fact, almost everything. And I remember in that training that I went to in Chicago, the training instructor had me change two things and just move them into a different place. And it completely changed everything. And I thought, how is that possible? That just putting it in the right place could change everything. But I can assure you that the order in which you live your life for Christ makes all the difference. If the musicians would come. So you might be saying, John, did you just teach a lesson that we should read our Bible and pray every day? And you will grow. I already knew that one. I learned the song. And the answer is yes. But here's the part that surprised me, I guess, is that when you put that part at the front of the day, maybe we could rewrite the song, I don't know. But if you put that in the part, the front of the day, it does something to everything in that day after that. And if you're struggling with the basics of controlling your flesh, man, that is one of those things that you just kind of have to sigh over. How do we control this flesh? And sometimes we think that that needs to happen by sheer will. But I can just tell you, and most of you know, that when the power of God is flowing through your life, that flesh is subject to you and to the Spirit of God in you. And that warring that happens between the spirit and the flesh, that battle is just different and easier. And you say, well, man, John, you know, sometimes I got to cheat a little bit. I don't want to wake up every morning. You know, I don't get a chance to sleep, you know, to the very last minute. I want to sleep as long as I can. I want to sleep to that. And so, you maybe make that decision, and then you live with the consequences of having a rough day. And when those rough days get bonded together and they just continue to roll one on top of each other, then pretty soon those waters are rising, and you see them rising, you know, so you come to church and you're just trying to keep those waters down a little longer. But it will catch up to you. And eventually the waters will be at your neck. Now, I'll just tell you, I was younger once, and I'm not all that old now yet. I'm just 36, you know, but looking at 40, just it's right there. I can't believe it. But I've prayed at all hours, day and night. I've tried to say, you know, okay, I'm not going to pray in the morning. I'm going to pray when Jesus prayed at midnight. You know, I'm going to pray just whenever it's best for me to pray. And I've tried these different things, and you've probably have too. And I'm not taking away from any of that. You've probably had some mighty moves of God in your life in those moments. And I have as well. Things that God has put into me in those prayer meetings, that they're special. They're powerful. But I'm just telling you, if you're struggling, it's different. It's not a prayer meeting per se. And neither is the goal to check a box in our spiritual to-do list. But sometimes we live from paycheck to paycheck. I mean, from service to service. And, you know, you've heard that before, I know, but it's true. So look at what you can sustain easily. Find a goal that you can manage and watch God make the difference. We need the capacity to change and grow. Not the kind of change that just happens because we're getting older or because of circumstances. Not the kind of change that comes like winning a lottery ticket. You know, I prayed and God did this thing. We have to cultivate the ground to receive the change. And it can start right here at this altar tonight. But for me, it began in my driveway. I pulled up after a long day at work. I walked to the mailbox. And as I walked slowly back up the hill, sort of dreading it a little bit, knowing that I was getting home late. My wife wasn't super excited about that, you know, and I was getting ready to go in. And instead of, you know, relaxing, I was getting ready to invest in my family. And it just was hard. And things were just, they were just rough at that particular moment. You say, well, man, that is not a rough life, John. That's not rough. You don't know what rough is. But for me, the weight of the realization of my own insufficiency caused a sigh of despair to escape my lips and my shoulders slumped. How can this be? A man who loves the Lord, who seeks to please the Lord, was overcome by the cares of life. And the question came out, is this the way it's supposed to be? Is this the way God intended? Is it the way that God intended it in your life? Instead, build your inner man by choosing spiritual things first. Praise God. Is it possible to overcome our fleshly nature daily? Can we be delivered from our addictions and torments? Do we believe that the Word is alive? Do we believe that in its pages there is life? Praise God. If we could stand. David said it. He shrugged off the outer man's titles and formality. He prayed a prayer that voiced the tiredness of trying to hold it all together in his human strength. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. And so for just a few minutes, I invite you to come to the front. And I hope tonight has affirmed your connection. But if you're struggling, bring the messy you, bring the incapable you, bring the sinner you, bring the carnal you, bring the prideful you, bring the you that you are to God each day, and let him change you from the inside out. 2 Corinthians, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You may not know how to change. You don't know. You think you know what you should, but you don't know how to make it stick. And your true change sits maybe just out of reach. Life more abundantly seems like something you can believe in faith instead of something you live. So can you really live a clean and holy life? Yes. Yes, you can. It's possible to do. do that. And if you just ask some of these elders here, they are human, but they confidently pray each day. They always have a song or a testimony to share. And so the changes God wants to do, they may not happen from a single prayer you pray tonight, but the changes come through molding. And so let tonight be a foundational stone. Every day. And then after a month, take a look. After a year, take a look. After 5 years, take a look. And so I close with this. Is tonight just another Wednesday night? Or is it the beginning of a miracle in your inner man? Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, oh God, do the work that you desire to do in us, Lord, so that we can be presented to you holy and acceptable. You said it's our reasonable service, so let us somehow, some way, find that time to give to you where you can change us, where you can mold us, where you can make us into that which you want to be. Lord, the waters they're up to my neck. I'm desperate for the change. I'm desperate for the cleansing. I'm desperate so that I can really be pure, so that I can really be clean, so that I can live confidently by your word, so that I can live and breathe and have my being in you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's right. Maybe you can make a commitment. If you don't already have one, make a new commitment tonight. And if you're already doing some of these things, you can just affirm that he's the God that's changing you. He's the God that's doing a great and mighty work in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.